you're here. Fellowship sweeter, knowing you're near.
Reading from James chapter 4, and I'll begin at verse 1, maybe verse 1 and verse 2. What causes fights and quarrels among you? Don't they come from your desires that battle within you? You want something, but don't get it. You kill and covet because you cannot have what you want. You quarrel and fight. You do not have because you do not ask God. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It is Friday, May 7th, 2021. And I kind of chuckled, Jason, you know, you might hear it in my voice, but, you know, you read these kind of texts, these messages in God's Word, and you think about, oh, gosh, yeah, people fight and quarrel over the silliest things, and usually it's because of a battle going on in them that may be jealous, or they want to covet, or, you know, they're, oh, gosh, this guy's getting away with it. I kind of wish I would have gotten away with it, or it comes from desires within. And then this goes on, this verse, you know, you do not get, you kill and covet. And, you know, sometimes that killing is in our minds. We're angry and we think about what we wish would happen to them, you know, ill will. But what I love about having you on each and every Friday as we look at God's Word, you know, we read it, we examine it, we talk about it, we think it through. What is God trying to communicate through James, through this inspired Word? What points of application can we find? How do we need to change? What I love how you always like to look at it, what's it revealing about God and our relationship with Him? Or what's a practical application that we can maybe take with us today? Or somebody who's really praying over something today through some healthy conviction, they learn maybe a course correction or a direction that they need to take. So that's what I love by having you on each and every Friday as we look at God's Word. What does it say? What is God's intention? And how does it fit for us to know Him better? So we're going to be looking at James chapter 4 in just a few minutes. I want to give everyone a quick little update. It was a fantastic Women's Care Clinic Celebration of Life banquet last night, and it was neat meeting up with Bethany, who I interviewed earlier this week. And then Jonathan Evans, what's it when they say they measured up the billing? He lived up to the billing. He was passionate, very pro-life. He shared many examples from his life and gave a powerful testimony to the glory of God. So we appreciate the work that's going on in Danville through the Women's Care Clinic and their banquet last night. And so that was wonderful. And then yesterday morning, I started out after the men's group. I met up with Tim Nelson, who's going to join us on staff. I think he'll be here in the middle of June. He's in actually yesterday and today looking at houses in and around the Springfield area, and I can't wait to give more of his story over the air and have him on. But he's going to bring over 30 years of radio experience to the Springfield team. And probably at some point's going to have a morning program or an afternoon program, and has a lot of ideas and thoughts on how to best minister to the listeners. And so we'll have him on in a number of days. But yeah, it was exciting. He's in town. He's looking for homes in Springfield. And so we met up at the Hen House and talked for a couple hours, and I sent him on his way. His brother-in-law happens to be a builder, a home builder and remodeler, so he has a perfect in on helping determine best houses and what they can do and when they move. So we're excited to welcome Tim Nelson and his wife Beth to the Ministry of Great News Media, and more to say in the coming days. But a quick little update, as many have been praying about expanding our team, and Tim is going to be a great fit. It's been confirmed in so many different ways, and I can't wait to share the whole story once he's officially here and on our team. But God has raised him up and fitted him perfectly to advance our mission to educate, edify, and evangelize, and to be utilizing his gifts and skill sets to help really appreciate and bless the listeners. So, whoo, yeah, things are coming together. And the interns, wow, they're coming in, and they are recording and helping put together scripting out some Mother's Day spots. By the way, men, Sunday is Mother's Day, don't forget.
Yeah.
They got the sweetest little voices, and they're working behind the scenes in a lot of ways. So appreciate the four interns that are helping this ministry. And it's just been kind of neat to see them get enthusiastic and work in a number of ways to help with whether it's mailings or recordings or scripting out things or cleaning or running to the post office, a lot of different ways they've been assisting. So, let's see. So we're looking at submitting yourself to God, chapter 4 of James. What causes fights and quarrels among you? Don't they come from your desires that battle within you? You want something but don't get it. You kill and covet, but you cannot have what you want. You quarrel and fight. You do not have because you do not ask God. Those are verses 1 and 2 of chapter 4 in this great book of James.
Yeah, it's what a difficult passage, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it really is a difficult passage, and it really is hard. And it's hard because most of us, if we're really honest, we don't really like conflict all that much. I mean, most of us spend a lot of our time avoiding conflict. And some of the conflict and some of the issues and problems that we face in our life is because we avoid conflict.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have conversations we should have. We don't clarify things with people that we should clarify. We don't offer correction because we are fearful that that correction will come to conflict. When I do marriage counseling with folks, a lot of the time, some of the issues that couples have is because they've taken these things that frustrate them and they've just kind of stuffed them or tucked them away because they don't want to have the conflict of trying to have that hard conversation. They didn't want to sit down and say, well, we need to have this conversation, but I know we're probably going to end up arguing or not seeing eye to eye on this.
Mm-hmm.
So instead, you know, I'll just tuck that away and just be forever frustrated by it. And so most of us hate conflict. You know, unfortunately, there probably is a small cross section of people who really do enjoy it. And that's a whole nother sermon series. But James here, I think why this text is so hard is because James is so blunt. You know, James doesn't kind of dance around this. He doesn't kind of soft step it. You know, James isn't like, well, you know, here's 10 steps to how we can maybe have less conflict in our life. James just goes right for the throat, and he says, listen, there's a source of conflict. And the message that I'm going to offer you about the source of this conflict is going to be both painful, but it is also going to be helpful.
Hmm.
Because you need to understand where the source of your conflict comes from and what is missing that causes a lot of this conflict. Now, spoiler alert for everybody who's listening, the answer is in verse 8 of chapter 4. Draw near to God and he will draw near to you. That most of the problems that we have and most of the conflicts that we have and most of the desires and the proclivities and the ways that we choose to deal with conflict or choose to deal with things in our life is because we haven't drawn near to God. We aren't operating in the Spirit. We aren't being led by the Spirit and walking in the Spirit. So instead, we're walking in the flesh and the desires of the flesh and needs of the flesh and the war that is happening within the flesh. I mean, Romans chapter 7 tells us about this war that is happening inside each believer as the spiritual man and the earthly or fleshly man are duking it out. You know, fleshly man kind of going, I want this, and the spiritual man is going, no, we don't need that. You know what we do need? We need God.
Hmm.
We need him desperately. And James is acknowledging that the source of most of our conflict is telling us that we need God. We need him more than ever. And so, you know, when I do marriage counseling and when I do just counseling in general with couples or with, you know, maybe two people, maybe we have to deal with an issue of, you know, discipline and there's two people. I always start by having people sit down and asking them to express like the greatest source of difficulty that they have with one another.
Hmm.
And the answers are, there are all kinds of different answers. But sometimes it's actually more specific, like a lack of trust or a spiritual difference with couples. Sometimes it's an extended family issue. And we spend time trying to iron out these differences. And there's value in trying to iron out these differences. But what I love about James, what I love that he does here, and I think that he was He's being guided by the Holy Spirit here, because this is not the human way to handle this. James wants to look at the source of our conflict, the source of where it comes from, instead of focusing on the things that trigger it. And James says, listen, you want to know what the source is? The source is the fall. The source is sin. And that's why you desperately need God, because the only thing in our life, the only thing that will serve as conflict resolution to the true conflict that we experience in our life, is the work of God through Jesus Christ at the cross. Mm-hmm. The greatest conflict we had and the greatest act of conflict resolution was the cross. And so James begins in verse 1 by saying, what causes quarrels and what causes fights among you? So he's asking him a question, and I love that he asked him a question, because you can just imagine the diversity of answers that he probably got that were a lot of them wrong. Well, you don't understand. It's Mark Burns, you know, or you don't understand. That person did this 10 years ago, and oh, my gosh, they never apologized. Oh, okay, all right. Yeah, so now we're starting to get some answers here, but they're not the right ones. And then he says, is it not this? That your passions are at war within you. You know, I've met people who are passionate about the fact that other people need to apologize. I've met people who are passionate about the fact that other people should be doing things another way. And it wars within them. You know, Mark, and you've probably dealt with this. I think we all have at one point or another, where you get this thought, you get this feeling inside of yourself, and you just can't let it go. And you know how I know I've dealt with that? Because I got my wife who goes, just let it go. and I go, okay, you're right. I should let it go. And then 5 minutes later, I'm going, man, you know what? Those people. And my wife goes, oh, we didn't let it go yet, did we? No, we didn't let it go yet. But what causes quarrels and fights among you? Is it not this, that your passions are at war within you? You desire. A great help in this would be to go in through this passage and circle the you. You know, and it reminds me of Jesus' words to Peter on the beach, right? When he says, you know, hey, what about him? And Jesus goes, no. What's that to you?
Yeah.
You follow me. Because listen, the biggest problem in your life, Mark, and in my life, is not other people.
Right.
It's me. It's me and what I want and what I think and how I want to deal with things and wrongly deal with things and my desires and my passions and my constant war, our constant war, even though we wouldn't admit this, to kind of say, Jesus, can you move over on the throne so I can sit with you? Because I'm really good at running things too. You know, we can partner together. And Jesus is like, well, we could, but you know, I'm God and you're not.
Yeah.
And so, you know, it kind of doesn't go well in that. But he begins by saying, listen, the source of all of our conflict is a failure to see and to know and to seek after God. And so he says in verse 2, it's in our desires. But he also says in verse 2 that it's in our lack of asking. You desire and do not have, so you murder. By the way, that's not just physical murder. We murder people with our words. We murder people with gossip and slander. We murder people all different kinds of ways other than just physically murdering people. We murder their reputations. So you murder. You covet and cannot obtain. So you want it, but you just can't get it. So you fight and quarrel. You can't get what you want. You can't get what you think you need. So you begin to quarrel and you begin to fight. Well, you know, that person over there's got those things, but they're really a jerk. You know, no. Maybe you're the jerk. Maybe. But then listen, what does he say? What does he say? He says the reason maybe you don't have those things is because you don't ask. Don't ask who? See, James leaves, it's kind of a trailing statement. Don't ask who? Don't ask God. You know, how much of our frustrations in our lives are and our quarrels inside of us and all of that are because we're trying to handle all of this on our own. We're trying to obtain, get whatever it is we think we want, whatever it is we desire, and we don't ever go before the throne of God. We miss the key command of Jesus when he says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. You know, I think sometimes, and I can only speak for myself, but I think this does apply to a lot of us, is that we don't ask God about certain things because we already know what the answer is going to be. You know, it's sort of like the child who comes up to his parents and he goes, well, what do you want? Well, I just wanted to have, like, two bowls of ice cream, but I know you'll say no. Yeah, because we're going to eat dinner in 5 minutes.
Yeah.
You know, but the child, my kids do that all the time. They come up to me and they ask me for something and they end it with, but I know you'll say no.
Yeah.
Well, if you know I'll say no, then why are you asking me? Because I really want it. I really, really want it.
Yeah.
You know, I think that one of the best theological trainings that I ever have had is having children. You know, college was great and all the books I read is great. But children, really, the way children interact with their parents shows me a lot about how we interact with God.
Mm-hmm.
And children come and they go, I know you'll say no, but I want to ask anyways because I really, really want it. And I think that when we come before God and we begin to ask, we draw near to him and he draws near to us and we begin to talk to him about the things in our heart, I think that God will encourage and say, you know, that's really a good thing. And he'll go, oh, that's not really so important, is it?
Hmm.
And see, the problem is that when that happens in that moment, Mark, what we're going to find out is that the things that are of lesser importance to us are actually of more importance to God, and the things that are more important to us are actually of lesser importance to God.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that God is up there. Now, I think that God loves to bless us, and I think that God loves to have us enjoy our life, but I don't think that God, as the world is spinning and all the things are happening, is going, you know, if we could just get Mark Burns a better car. But how many times do we drive around and go, man, if I could only drive one of those kinds of cars. If I only had a newer car. If I only had a car where the air conditioning worked or whatever it is. You know what I mean? And so verse 2 says, you don't have because you don't ask. James is saying, listen, the war that you have is because you're choosing in the fall to live to the world.
Mm-hmm.
Now, how do we know that that's what he means? Because that's actually what he's going to say. He says, you ask and do not receive because you ask wrongly. You ask wrongly. You don't ask God. You're asking into your own passions and your own desires. You adulterous people, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? He says, listen, you want to be such friends with the world. You want to seek after things in the world and the way that the world wants you to seek after them. And in that, you're forgetting your calling. Your calling is to be someone who is a part of the kingdom of God, not of the world. And so you actually set yourself up against God's plans, purposes, and intentions for your life because you're operating on your own worldly passions, desires, and needs.
Mm-hmm.
And you're not doing verse 8, which is to draw near to God. And so right out the gate, your motives are wrong. Your motives as a Christian are wrong because your motivation as a Christian should be to do God's will, to be like Jesus to the world around you. But instead, what we do is we find ourselves quarreling and being divisive, and we find ourselves causing fights because we're living to the world and not living to who God calls us to be. And we have no excuse, right? Because he sent his son to the cross so that we could get the Spirit. So God sacrificed his only son to bring us salvation. But part of that action in bringing us salvation was giving us the Spirit so that we could actually do the things that God calls us to do. And to realize that apart from God, we can't do those things. You know, when Jesus says, they will know that you're my disciples by your love in the book of John, that doesn't mean that you just simply go out and love people.
Mm-hmm.
Because what you'll do is you'll find yourself simply loving people the way that you know how to love people. And the call to be his disciple is to be wholly dependent upon him, to lean on him, to trust him, to ask him for the help that is needed to actually do the thing he calls you to do. And therefore, that means that to love people on par with how God wants us to love people will require us to draw near to God and utilize his grace and his Spirit in order to be able to do those things.
Mm-hmm.
Because apart from that, we're going to offer our kind of own vision of what love is, our own desire for what love is, and ultimately it will lead to what James says here, quarrels and fights and the passions that war within us. And so I say all that this morning to the listener who is tuned in right now, that there's a better way. There's a better way. But here's how you get to that better way. You have to get over yourself. I have to get over myself. We have to get over ourselves and realize that what we desperately need is God. What we desperately need is verse 8, to draw near to God, because he is prepared, ready, willing, and wanting to draw near to us. And if you need proof of that, just look to the cross. He did everything that was necessary to draw us to himself, because he desires us that much. And he doesn't want us to live this way. You know, the reason that James chapter 4 in the beginning is so hard is because we make it so hard. And God has made the way for us to live a different way. But it's going to require humility on our part.
And this verse 3 about us asking with wrong motives, I think as we draw near to God, you know, our motives does change as we experience his love, his care, his compassion, his leading. Our motives conform more to his will, and then we ask more properly because we want his will to be our will to be his will, because we're becoming more and more like Jesus. So we won't ask with the wrong motives, so it's all about our own pleasures. It's about accomplishing his will. But that's one of my favorite verses, James 4:8. NIV says, come near to God and he'll come near to you. But I love sharing that with people, that if you will be intentional, if you will draw near to God, he promises to come near to you. For especially my unchurched friends, I said, even if you can at this point entertain the idea that there's this loving, sovereign God that created the universe, that created you, just say you can't fathom that yet. Just entertain the possibility. Just allow yourself to draw near to God. As simple as saying, God, I don't even think at this point I believe in you or know that you exist, but Mark thinks so. Pastor Jason says you exist. If I come near to you, will you receive me? Will you draw near to me as I try to draw near to you? And I've said that to many people. Challenge God at that. If you're sincerely wanting to draw near to him, to see if he exists, I have to believe these words, come near to God and he'll come near to you. He will respond in unique ways. I don't know how it is. Maybe it's through other people. Maybe it's through an inspirational thought. Maybe it's through a feeling. Maybe it's through seeing his handiwork, incredible creation that's around you. But I do believe that if you seek after him, he will reveal himself to you. Oh, that's a good word for us all. Thank you, Pastor Jason. It is so true. Many of these quarrels, these fights, this discontent that we have or experience is because we're out of balance. We're not focusing on God and listening to him and just praising him for everything that we have, the breath that's in us this very day. Most of us have a roof over our heads and can open up cabinets and refrigerators, and we have food and running water and the myriad of things that we can take for granted. I mean, we're so overly spoiled that even the poorest of us still have maybe health or the ability to think, to pray, to converse. I mean, we have so many things that we could just be thankful for. And I think that's what God, you know, wants us to recognize. He's sovereign. He's the giver of every good gift. And even if we're going through the hardest of times, there's still an eternity ahead of us where there's no more suffering or pain or heartache, that he's laid that for us for all eternity as we draw close to him. And he's paid the incredible price of sending the Lord Jesus Christ to die on the cross for our sins, our mistakes, our shortcomings, and he's made a path. So at the very least, we could just bow down and surrender and say, God, we are unworthy. Thank you for your love. So, that'll preach this weekend. Hey, Pastor Jason, blessings to you and all the pastors that will be meeting at the Great News Radio Center at noon today. We are looking forward to just encouraging our area pastors, praying for them, and I'll have more to say in the coming days. But we want to love on our pastors. They're being used of God in a very unique role, and we want to pray them up, support them, and be under their teaching as they study God's Word and God gives them a message. We want to listen and be attentive on Sunday. Sunday. So get your rest tonight, everyone, and tomorrow night, and be ready for church on Sunday. All right, well, thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns and Pastor Jason Schiffel with the Ministry of Great News Media. God bless you. Have a great day and night.